All right, today's scripture comes from Mark 9, 30 to 37. They left that place and passed through Galilee. Jesus did not want anyone to know where they were because he was teaching his disciples. He said to them, "The Son of Man is going to be delivered into the hands of men. They will kill him, and after 3 days he will rise." But they did not understand what he meant and were afraid to ask him about it. They came to Capernaum. When he was in the house, he asked them, "What were you arguing about on the road?" But they kept quiet because on the way they had argued about who was the greatest. Sitting down, Jesus called the 12 and said, "Anyone who wants to be first must be the very last and the servant of all." He took a little child, whom he placed among them. Taking the child in his arms, he said to them, "Whoever welcomes one of these little children in my name welcomes me, and whoever welcomes me does not welcome me, but the one who sent me." God bless the reading of his word.
It's a great day to be here. It is an honor for me to have Elsie Cito here also, because I'm a retired Army chaplain, and she's a Army nurse, and her story is beautiful. And so I encourage you to get to know a little bit about her story as we celebrate her 100th year birthday. Let us pray. Lord God, thank you for your word. Thank you for the opportunity to preach. Preaching is not about information dumping. It's about transformation, changed hearts and lives. So may our hearts be touched this morning by the word of God. In Christ's name I pray. Amen. Have you ever had a teacher that influenced you? Now, you may be a teacher that has influenced students for good or bad. We have teachers here. I remember my teacher in fifth grade in Vallejo, California, Miss Mills. At the time, I was a BC student. And our teacher assigned a research paper in fifth grade with note cards. I had beginning, middle portion, and concluding portion. I remember. And I was so excited. I wanted to write about space travel, the Apollo mission. The night before it was due, I remember working hard trying to write the paper. I turned it in. It was a running commentary. No theme. That's what she wanted. She gave me instructions. We want a theme and we want a purpose for this paper. I had no theme. I didn't have the big picture. And I got a C minus on it. At least I passed, but I let her down, I know. And I will ever remember my teacher. Because she was a good teacher, but it was a hard class. Anyone here today, have you done anything like that? You didn't meet the expectation of a teacher? And I know there are certainly people here today who met every expectation of every teacher everywhere. Not most of us, and you wouldn't admit it, but maybe your spouse would point you out. So I'm curious, if you know anybody that is a water walker, let me know. I'm curious today. The disciples of Jesus also had a project that was due, and that was to learn the teaching of Jesus, to learn from him. And there were different groups of disciples along the way. There was the inner three, there was the 12, there was 72s or 70, there was 140, just different groups of people that Jesus ministered to and he taught. Imagine how strong you would be as a Christian, how spiritually mature if Jesus was beside you for 3 years, because that's how long he was in ministry. Day and night, you had an opportunity to learn from him. brush shoulders with him. Some of us, we get to meet the pastor a little bit in church. But Josh, if you're a mega church pastor, do you meet many of the normal members of the mega church? No, you don't. You probably would never even meet the guy. But at least here at CCC, you can talk to Charles, you can talk to Josh, you can email me, talk to me. We're accessible. Jesus was accessible for these 12 and spent a lot of time ministering to them. But do you know, they failed. There are three areas that they completely missed the mark and the teaching of Jesus. The title of my message today is Three Things the Disciples Missed While Jesus Was in the Flesh on Earth. He was not just a teacher, we know, or rabbi or prophet. He was the Son of God. And there are many names in the New Testament that Jesus is known by. The Logos, the Word, the image of the invisible God, the firstborn of all creation, the Alpha and Omega, the Lamb of God, Savior. In fact, I suggest that it would be a good small group exercise to give a sheet of paper to a small group and tell them, write down all the names that Jesus is known for or as in the Bible. And I Googled it, and I found on Google there's a list of 50, there's a list of 60, there's a list of 200. But Jesus in the Bible is known by many names. I think it would be a good exercise. But at this point, I want to talk about him as he is leaving Galilee. Jesus knew that his time was ticking away, and he's boldly moving forward with an agenda of the kingdom, a mission to fulfill. And what was that mission? He was to be the gift of God for humankind. The one who purchased the salvation for lost humanity by his death on the cross. His mind was focused. He was forward leaning, and he was walking toward Jerusalem. You know, in the history of the ancient Near East, many different groups of people have marched toward Jerusalem. You have ancient empires like the Assyrians, the Babylonians, the Hittites, the Egyptians, all went to Jerusalem. You have Alexander the Great who conquered Jerusalem. But none of them have left a legacy like Jesus Christ has. His accomplishment on the cross, his work, is more powerful than any of these worldly powers. And he came to die for us, the greatest act of compassion and mercy ever. He gave his life. We were neither family nor friends. We were strangers, enemies, outcasts, undeserving, insignificant. To be honest with you, I wish churches and Christians were focused on the mission of God like Jesus was. He was focused. Focused in how he nurtured and trained his disciples, and focused on how directly he went to Jerusalem. We have a mission statement at CCC to know Christ and to make him known. Our mission, this is what it says, our mission is to know God intimately through living the living presence of Jesus within us, then to participate joyfully in sharing his grace in word and loving deeds wherever he leads. Sharing for a Christian is evangelism and love. We are committed to the mission to share the gospel of Jesus Christ, to reach the lost. So as Jesus traveled toward Jerusalem, he moved away from the safer northern areas, passing through Galilee step by step toward the city of David. And on his trip, he wanted to teach those who followed him, those that he loved. And Jesus knew one thing, that his mission was more than dying on a cross and rising from the dead. His mission was more than saving us. There were other elements to his mission. And one element of his mission was to disciple these men who were with him and women who were with him in his ministry, to teach them, to pour his life into them. And there was another element of his mission as the Son of God, which is related to what he does now, his ascension ministry. His presence in heaven at the right hand of God, where he intercedes and prays for us. So the mission of Jesus is not only his mission to save the world, but there are other elements that are important. And it was important for him to reach the disciples, to transform them and to change them so that they would be able to carry out the Great Commission. That was part of what he was trying to do, why he spent that intimate time with these men. But they were a hard case. They weren't very malleable. They weren't prone to learning much. They were not very listening. He wanted them to take the messages to the ends of the earth, and they just didn't get it. They missed three important points, and those are my points for this morning. They missed the big picture, like me and my project. I missed the big picture. But they certainly missed the picture of Jesus. They left that place and passed through Galilee. Jesus did not want anyone to know where they were because he was teaching his disciples. He said to them, "The Son of Man is going to be delivered into the hands of men. They will kill him, and after 3 days he will rise." But they did not understand what he meant and were afraid to ask him about it. What an account. What a failure. He spent his time to teach them, and they just didn't get it. How many teachers do we have here? Raise your hand. I'm curious. Anybody? Raise your hands. I want to see teachers. We got teachers. There's some teachers. There, all of you. And the kind of one lifts the other one's hand. He's kind of tired from teaching. But have you ever had a student you just couldn't communicate? Well, there's hope. Now, actually, in Mark, this is the second occasion where you have a situation like this, where the disciples, they failed to get the picture. There's another one in verse 8. I'm going to read that. This is another account of failure where the disciples just didn't get it. He then began to teach them that the Son of Man must suffer many things and be rejected by the elders, the chief priests, and the teachers of law, and that he must be killed and after 3 days rise again. He spoke plainly. Well, I mean, what else can you say? You tell the student, "I spoke plainly. I made it clear to you." And what did Peter do? Peter took him aside and began to rebuke him. Can you get this? Peter began to rebuke Jesus. "What's wrong with you, Jesus? What are you talking about?" Have you ever had a student do that to you, rebuke you? That's exactly what was going on here. But when Jesus turned and looked at his disciples, he rebuked Peter. "Get behind me, Satan," he said. "You don't have the mind or the concerns of God, but merely human concerns." We often value human concerns over God's. God's priority is to reach lost people. And we often ignore that as a priority. If you're a Christian and winning people to Christ, you're following the priority of God, the mission of God. But if you're a Christian and a church and you don't win people to Christ, you are not following the priority of God. A church grows by communicating the message of Jesus Christ. Also, it grows by having children. But the main way that the Christian community grows is through reaching people that don't know God. Another example in Mark is Mark 10, 32 to 34. They were on their way up to Jerusalem with Jesus leading the way, and the disciples were astonished, while those who followed were afraid. Jesus had just taught about the rich young man, and so they were astonished at his teaching. Again, he took the 12 aside and told them what was going to happen to him. "We are going to Jerusalem," he said, "and the Son of Man will be delivered over to the chief priests and the teachers of the law. They will condemn him to death and will hand him over to the Gentiles, who will mock him and spit on him and flog him and kill him. 3 days later, he will rise." How did the disciples respond to that? This is the third time Jesus tells them on the way to Jerusalem. The third time. You know, you tell them once, you tell them again, and you tell them again. And what was the next thing the disciples did in Mark? The next verse, James and John are asking Jesus to do something for them. Jesus said, "What do you want me to do for you? We want you to do for us whatever we ask. What do you want me to do for you?" Jesus asked. They replied, "Let one of us sit on your right and the other on your left in your glory. Let one of us sit on the left and the right." They were clueless about the message of Jesus. Three times in Mark, Jesus tried to tell them, but they were unspiritual, they were short of memory, they were selfish, they didn't get it. Not at all. I think all of us need to really think about this as we look at the gospel, is that they had failed to understand the big picture of what Jesus wanted to do. They just did not get it at all. So what is the big picture of the gospel? What is the big picture? I went to a Christian commentary, and this is what it says. This is the definition of the gospel in a nutshell. The gospel is the joyous proclamation of God's redemptive activity in Christ Jesus on behalf of man enslaved by sin. It's the joyful proclamation of God's redemptive activity, God's saving activity. That's what redemptive means. The gospel is telling others in a joyful way that there is hope, that there is a future, that God can come into their life and transform them. That is the big picture for the Christian. The second thing they missed is this. They missed the mystery of serving. And this comes from the text that was read earlier. They came to Capernaum. When he was in the house, he asked them, "What were you arguing about on the road?" Isn't it just amazing they were arguing on the road? It's kind of like being in a station wagon with your brother and sister and arguing as you're driving to the West Coast. I mean, it's just a wonderful picture. He asked them, "What were you arguing about on the road?" But they kept quiet because on the way they had argued about who was the greatest. Sitting down, Jesus called the 12 and he said, "Anyone who wants to be first must be the very last and the servant of all." They missed the point about Jesus' mission. They missed the point about serving. And they also just didn't understand what the nature of Christianity was. In Philippians chapter 2, verse 3, Paul writes this. He says, "Do nothing out of selfish ambition or vain conceit. Rather, in humility, value others above yourselves, not looking to your own interests, but each of you to the interests of the others." The Christian message is really to elevate others, to be a servant. And that's what Jesus was trying to tell the disciples in this text, is that he expected them to be servants. Now, the past 2 weeks when I preached, I mentioned servanthood. And I talked about what greatness was. And in our culture, we have this idea that greatness is power and economics and armies and influence, the stock market. But from the Christian perspective, all of these things are transitory. There's even politicians that talk about greatness. And that's all fine and well, but true Christian greatness is not related to those kind of things. It's related to character and integrity. And this is what Jesus is trying to say in this text, that true Christian greatness is a character dynamic. It is humble. And there are many examples in Scripture of this kind of greatness. In Mark 10:45, "For even the Son of Man did not come to be served, but to serve, and to give his life as a ransom for many." Jesus tried to communicate again and again and again the importance of service.